Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Let us know what your need is, and we will pray for you today. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. If it's something personal, we understand. You have to tell us who you are when you call in with your request. God knows who you are. That's what matters. We just want to be able to pray for you and lift you up before the Lord. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you this day that we can come before you and seek you and know that you are our good and faithful God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you are abundantly able to meet our every need, that you are a good and gracious God who gives us all things. And so we thank you. We praise you this day. We ask that you would reveal your glory in the lives of all those who call in and seek you in their prayer requests. Lord, that you would work in their lives for their good and your glory, that your work may be seen in their lives, and that people would rejoice in what you're doing. We pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And let us know what your need is, and we will come before you, and we will lift that up before the Lord on the prayer closet. All right. Before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And today we're going to be in the book of Luke. The book of Luke. In Luke chapter 11. And we're picking up verse 14. Jesus is casting out demons. And he runs into some opposition. Now you would think casting out demons would be a good thing, right? People would be very happy about this. That it would be a reason for celebration. Here's someone who's being oppressed by a demon. Jesus comes along, sets him free. I mean, this is good. We want this. This is someone who's suffering. And now they've been set free. Suffering. They've been set free from that oppression. We ought to celebrate good work. But it's the nature of the world, the nature of this fallen world, that good work often doesn't get celebrated. And in fact, good work often gets opposed. Good work often gets slandered. I think of our good friends in the pregnancy centers around the area, the folks at Heartbeat of Lima, Greater Toledo Pregnancy Center, Pregnancy Center Bowling Green. I mean, just great organizations that are doing wonderful work helping people. But you go on to, in the mainstream media, some places, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, and places like Planned Parenthood and others often accuse them of spreading lies, false information. In California, no, they passed a law, and now I think it got struck down in the courts, but they tried to pass a law saying that, you know, if you're a pregnancy center, you have to give referrals to abortion agencies. And I mean, just things like this. And here they are. Here are people who are dedicating their lives to saving babies and to helping single mothers and people who, you know, parenting, even not just always single mothers, but sometimes young couples that are unexpectedly pregnant. And they're committed to helping these people, not just have their baby, but helping them afterward, giving them baby supplies, giving them access to medical care, giving them access to parenting classes, teaching about finances, bringing in financial classes, financial budgeting, teaching people life skills that are necessary. It's a lot of good work that they do. And they engage with these families and stay with these families. They help them long after the child is born, contrary to what others say. And yet they're often slandered. They're often lied about and told that, oh, they're spreading disinformation. Once the baby's born, they abandon people and stuff. And then none of that's true. None of that is true. They're doing good work, but they're being slandered for it. Because that's kind of the nature of the fallen world. In our fallen world, where people are deceived by sin, good often seems evil, and evil often seems good. It's one of the reasons the Bible says we are blind. Right? We're blind to what is true. We're blind to the truly good. And we're deceived by the wicked. And we see that in this story, in Luke chapter 11, verse 14. Says, now he was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and people marveled. So here's this man, can't speak. There's a demon in him. Jesus casts out the demon, he can speak. Everybody's, oh, it's amazing, look at this. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. Now, you'd think casting out a demon might be a sign. This is why Jesus would not perform signs and demands. Because even when he did stuff, like heal the sick, raise the dead, people are like, well, what else have you got? Show us another sign. Show us something really impressive. They never bought the sign, so he wouldn't do it. Because he knew it wouldn't work. They weren't going to believe him anyway. So they're challenging this fact. Here Jesus has done a good thing. He's cast out this demon to help this person. But they're accusing him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Others keep seeking him from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Or you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor, in which he trusted, and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. They're accusing Jesus, casting out demons by demons, which, when you think about it, is a pretty frightening thing to do, because you're saying that Jesus is demonic, which is pretty blasphemous. That is something I'm not sure I would want to have to stand before God and explain. Why I thought his son was demonic. So they're treading on very thin ice here. In ascribing to Jesus the work of Satan and the work of the devil. So I think in some ways, Jesus is remarkably restrained in his response to them. And he just points out the illogic of what they're saying. How can a kingdom divided against itself stand? If what I am doing is evil, why is good coming from? If Satan's casting out demons, he's only defeating himself. If Satan's inhibiting the work of his demonic allies, then he's only harming himself. And such a kingdom cannot stand. And if I cast them out by Beelzebub, who do your sons cast them out by? Who are your people casting out by? By whose authority are they working? Are they on the side of Satan too? And he just kind of sees the illogic of their position. He shows, frankly, how stupid it is. It's a stupid argument. Now, he says a little gentler than that, right? But it is. I mean, what they're saying, really, when you think about it, doesn't make any sense. They're simply trying to discount the work of God. They don't want to acknowledge it. As he says, if it's by the finger of God that I cast out these demons, it's the kingdom of God has come upon you, and at the end of the day, that's really what you are standing against. I think Jesus is pointing out the fact that they don't really believe what they're saying. They don't really believe that it's by Satan that he's casting out demons. As he points out the illogic of their position. It's just that they're opposed to the kingdom of God. See, I don't believe the people who spread these lies about pregnancy centers and stuff really believe that it's true. Some of them may. Some of them might be deluded. But most of them know better. They know it's not true. They're just opposed to the work they're doing. They're trying to say they're not doing the work, but they know they are doing the work. The evidence is there. They're just opposed to the work that they're doing. But it doesn't look good to come out and say, we're opposed to helping single mothers get child care and baby supplies and classes and parenting and budgeting, and helping them get their lives set straight. You know, we can't say that because that looks bad. But the people opposing it are opposing it because they make money when mom kills her child as opposed to when she keeps him. There's no profit in that for them. But again, you can't say that either. Even though that's the truth. Because that looks bad too. And so you say, well, you know, they're not really doing what they're doing. Even though we all kind of know that they are. At the end of the day, I don't think they believe their own lies. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. You don't really even believe your own lies. You just don't want the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been revealed to you, and you are in opposition to it. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. He tells the story of the strong man who guards his house, and he says that everything's safe as long as he's the strongest guy on the block. But when a stronger person comes and defeats him, everything he has is taken away. Takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. The problem with Jesus is he's challenging the armor in which these people had trusted for so long. The religious edifice that they had built up around God's law. They had put their faith and their trust in that. And now here was Jesus coming, someone stronger than that, someone greater than the law. Inaugurated a greater covenant. But they didn't see that as a blessing, they saw that as a threat. That was the armor in which they had trusted. Now they're being asked to trust something else, and they weren't willing to do it. They weren't willing to trust in the kingdom of God. And so they fought against it. You know, and I think this is a danger for all of us who are in the church. You know, we can fall in love with our traditions. We can fall in love with our way of doing things. We can fall in love with our particular brand of Christianity. And if it gets challenged, we become very defensive. If it gets challenged, we can fall into this trap and say, well, that's just a, you know, that's a false challenge, or that's just Satan coming against us. Well, maybe. Or maybe it's God calling us to see more clearly what his kingdom looks like, and maybe calling us and telling us that some of that armor we're trusting in isn't the armor of God. It's the armor of man. It's the armor of tradition. It's the armor of religion. But it's not the armor of God. And we need to stop putting our trust in it. Someone stronger has come. We need to trust in him. When the work of Jesus seems more like a threat than a blessing, it's a good sign that we put our trust in the wrong armor. And we're in danger of calling what is good evil. So we need to check our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. We need to remind ourselves that we are always learning. God is always challenging us. And that even some of our most cherished beliefs and traditions might need to be changed from time to time as God does a new work. And that we should rejoice in the kingdom of God wherever it appears, even if it doesn't look exactly like we thought it would. But we'll know it when we see it, when we see the work of God happening. Here's the thing, they had evidence that Jesus wasn't just saying these things. He wasn't just saying the kingdom of God is upon you. He had provided evidence of it in casting out the demons. So when we see that evidence, that tangible evidence of God's work, we need to acknowledge it, we need to rejoice in it. Even if it challenges us and stretches us. But we need to trust in the one who's strong. We'll come back with your prayer requests. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893. Or email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. This is the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And we want to get into our prayer requests. And we have a request for listener. Their sister is in the hospital after having suffered a possible seizure, and just asking for prayer. Lord, we do pray for this listener, for their sister, who is in the hospital right now after suffering a possible seizure. And Lord, we just pray for healing for her. We pray that you would grant the doctors wisdom and discernment to understand what has happened here, what caused her to need to be hospitalized, that they would know how to treat this, and Lord, that this would not be a sign of any larger problem, and maybe just even a one-time thing, but Lord, we pray for health and for healing for her, and we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener asking for prayer as they have just had their job come to an end, and so are now in need of a new job. Lord, we do pray for this listener as they are now in need of new employment, as their job came to an end, so we're praying that you would help them to find a new job. You would provide that job for them, provide for their needs, provide for what they need financially. Lord, I pray that in the time between these jobs that you would meet their every material need, that they would not suffer lack in anything, but would experience your gracious provision. And Lord, we pray that you would open up a door for a new job that would be good and high-paying. And probably, Lord, we just pray for an even better job than the one that they had. Better pay, better benefits, better hours, Lord, that would allow them to use the talents and abilities you've given them for your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request, you can email or text that to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. If it's between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., you can call our studio line, 419-240-1937. Folks there will be happy to pray for you. Or go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. And that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.